let's turn to Scripture, to the reading of the Word from Matthew 28. You'll find this text to be very familiar, I believe, especially toward the end of it. I know I put 1 through 20 in the bulletin, but I'd like to just read 16 through 20 if I could, and right at the end of this. It's a passage that includes what we have come to call the Great Commission. And you will recognize those words as familiar. I wanted to say that this is the ending of the Gospel of Matthew. These are the last four verses. And so this is where Matthew leaves off the story. As you know, each of the Gospel writers has their own brand on how the story ends. But this one is different because it ends with a doxology, really. It's one of the first and one of the only mentions of the Trinity in Scripture. We have embraced the doctrine of Trinity. That is a construct of the church in some ways, to understand God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But that has its roots right here in this passage that is the words that Jesus says. Listen to these words now for the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the age." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. So, you've probably heard some famous last words. I looked some up just for grins this week, because these are really what I've just read to you as the last words of Jesus, according to the Gospel of Matthew, anyway. Here's some. Joe DiMaggio said, "I finally get to see Marilyn." It's his former lover, Marilyn Monroe. His attorney said that the great Yankee had never gotten over her death. Joan Crawford, her last words were, "Don't you dare ask God to help me." She had suffered a heart attack, and her housekeeper started praying for her to live. But she was ready to go on, and she said, "Don't you dare ask God to help me." Luciano Pavarotti, the great tenor, "I believe that a life lived for music is an existence spent wonderfully. And this is what I've dedicated my life to." Those were his last words. And here's one that's unusual. Alex. Only one name. Alex is an African gray parrot. And he was used in comparative psychology research at Brandeis University. His last words to his handler were, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you." Now that sounds really impressive, except those words were spoken to his handler, Dr. Irene Pepperberg, and it was not because the bird knew that he was going to die that night, but that's simply what he said to her every evening when they finished their research. "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you." Those are some pretty good last words, don't you think? Last words are important. The last word you say to someone before you walk out the door to go on a trip or just to go to the office for the day. The last words you say to someone before you go to bed at night or are the last words that you say when you're about to hang up the phone. You don't know when you'll talk again. For Matthew, this climactic ending of the whole story of Jesus is where he chooses to put these last words. The whole message, the date, the setting, the content are part of the seeds of the future, of a new beginning. With a very human response. So the mountains. We talked a couple of Sundays ago about Jesus appearing to the disciples on the Mount of Olives and then sending them back down to Jerusalem to continue his work. But this is a different mountain. Not sure just which mountain it was. But it is a place where Jesus was. And so many of the stories are about mountains. It's no wonder we love mountains, don't we? Even if you don't like to be in the mountains, you'd like to look at them. Sometimes if you're really high in the mountains, it's harder to breathe. And it may be that you dread that. But nobody dreads viewing the mountains from the distance and seeing the peaks and the clouds and even if you're lucky enough to be in Colorado, some snow caps. Somewhere up there is where John Denver crashed his plane. I read quite a bit about that this week because I just had my mind on mountains, I guess. And I don't know, I've been a John Denver fan and loved his music and still do. And I think that I had kind of drawn the conclusion personally that he was discouraged and maybe hopeless. But what I read this week led me to believe that the plane that he was in had a terrible problem. And it had a flaw in its design. At least that's the story that I read. And something about the switch of fuel tanks. And those of you that are pilots probably understand that issue. But it's important. You don't want to get in the mountains and run short of fuel. He couldn't make the switch between tanks. None of us know when our last breath will come. So perhaps it's better to end each breath with a promise, with a hope, with something to look forward to, with some positive word, and with some acknowledgement or nod to the Trinity, to God, as God comes to us in very distinctly different ways. God the Father, God the Son, who talks to us and walks with us, walks with me and he talks with me. And then the Spirit of God, which moves us, waves among us, inspires us, fills us with hope. All three of those ways of understanding God are necessary for the complete picture. Our psalm for today, which we read a portion of earlier, "How majestic is your name in all the earth." We just have to look up. Whether it's to look up to the mountains or to look up to one another, I encourage you to read the Psalms and to read words like these in Psalm 8. And if you're thinking about getting a new Bible, I'd love to visit with you about that. There's tons of options. Some are good. I'd love to visit about it if you're thinking about making that kind of an investment. But which do we believe more? Which do we trust more? What we hear? What we see? Or what we want? I'm afraid everything gets colored by what we want. What we want to see, what we want to hear, what we want to believe. But in this passage, Jesus appears to the disciples, and there is no questioning that. Matthew ends this gospel story with it, and Jesus ascends. And that makes a difference. Jesus is a living example of resurrection. But in this text that we have today, Jesus calls his disciples to resurrection as well. And that includes us. The hope of resurrection calls us to believe that where we can go, not alone, but in the risen Lord, in the Spirit of truth, will bring us into the eternity of the Father's presence. And that is good news. It's the end of Matthew. It's Jesus' last words. And last words are important. But Jesus was not dying like we think of in some cases with last words. That had already happened, and it had already been overcome. Jesus was living now, was ascending to be with the Father, was living and calling His disciples to live and continue to live in His memory. And He puts it in very clear language that we call the Great Commission. These four parts: go, baptize, teach, and remember. Those four parts of the last two verses where it says, go into all the world and make disciples of nations. That's the go and make disciples. And then baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. There's that Trinitarian formula that seems kind of new at this point in Matthew. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, He says, I will be with you to the end of the age. I will be with you. What sums up your life? What would your last words be before you breathe your last breath? That's something to think about. Maybe it's something to write about or journal about. So what's your script? What would others say is your script? What do you do again and again? What do you do over and over, rehearsing it to perfection? What are those routines that you couldn't do without, that you cherish the most? Jesus' words to His disciples were all verbs. Go. Make disciples. Go. Baptize. Be immersed and immerse others in Scripture, in the tradition of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The third one, teach. Teach them what? Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And last, and this one may be the best one, remember. Remember. And the words should be ringing in your ears, what we are to remember. It's remember, I will be with you. I am with you to the edge of the sky. And Jesus ascended there and left them standing. I am with you, He promised in spirit. I will be with you to the end of the age. The cross points the way to how we relate to people, how we relate to the world around us, and how we relate to God. It's a very good thing to keep our eyes on the cross. It'll do us good to discover and own up to what is our highest priority, what we would die for, or better yet, what we would live for. Is it earning profit? Is it building a fortune? Is it learning? Is it knowledge? Is it piano virtuosity like the Clyburn contest has been going on the last 2 weeks and finished yesterday? What's your highest call, your highest aim, that thing which you find yourself serving again and again? We'd do well to live into this Great Commission, to follow these words, go, make disciples, baptize, and remember, I am with you always. Remember, be sure of this, Jesus would say, I love you and I am with you in spirit as far as you can see. That is our best hope. Jesus' word. I am with you and you are with me for eternity. That is our best and last hope.